Let's pray. Heavenly Father, anoint these words. I pray that this would be you speaking to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 7 Sundays ago, we interrupted our series from the book of Acts, and we embarked on a Lenten series entitled Giving It Up. And on that Sunday, and for the next 5 Sundays following it, we looked at what we needed to give up. Jeffrey picked up on that as well with his overloaded knapsack. We talked about giving up control and giving control to God. We talked about giving up expectations and looking with anticipation at what God had for us. We looked at giving up superiority and how we need to get rid of the artificial lines that we humans draw to make us feel superior to others. We talked about giving up enemies and even giving up our lives. Each one of them sounds pretty serious. Like, why would we want to give up our lives? But the truth was, when we give up our lives, we experience real eternal life. Finally, last week on Palm Sunday, on the day when Jesus' popularity reached its zenith. That's not a TV. Do they even make zenith TVs anymore? Zenith means the top, okay? We talked about giving up popularity on that day. And today, on this day of resurrection, with Lent having concluded late last week, we're still talking about giving something up. But today, we're talking about giving up death. And you'll see what I mean as we continue. A good way to start is to look at what's on the front of your worship folder. And I'm glad it's there for you to, you can read it and you can ponder it over the next week or even longer if you need it. We need the reminder found in its words. I don't know who wrote it, but I sure like it. Jesus's resurrection is the destruction of all that destroys. It is the demise of that which seeks the demise of everything else. It is the end of ending, the ruin of all that ruins, and the annihilation of all that kills, robs, infects, corrupts, and distorts. The resurrection is the final end of all that produces final endings. Death is over. Powerful. It's especially powerful in this day and age when there seems to be a lot of hopelessness. We need to share the hope that comes out of this very day. Friedrich Buechner wrote that symbol of Christianity is not a star or a crescent or a lotus, which are images of beauty and light. Instead, the symbol of Christianity is the cross, an instrument of oppression and execution. And this is because the cross represents hope. It's hopeful because of what happened 3 days later. On Friday, this had a black cloth on it. Today, it has a white cloth on it. Now, I believe that many of you here have the wonderful joy and anticipation that comes from the resurrection. But if you do not, then this message is for you. And for those of you who do know that joy, this message is for you too, because you need to share it with those who are around you and do not have the hope of the resurrection. A short while ago, Emily read to you from the Gospel of John, from the New English Translation. She read about Mary Magdalene arriving at the tomb and finding it empty. In fear, and then maybe a hint of anticipation, she went and she found the other disciples and told them about it. And Peter and John. Now, it doesn't say John, but John is probably writing the account, and he's pretty much presenting a firsthand account. And he was pretty happy about the fact that he could run faster as well. And they race to the tomb, and they find it empty. Indeed, Jesus isn't there. And as John looked at the folded grave clothes, he realized that the scripture was true. And he finally believed what scripture said. Jesus must rise from the dead. And in that belief, and they believed at that point, he and Peter returned to their homes, knowing that Jesus is risen from the dead. But Mary's still there. Mary's still there outside of the grave. The excitement the disciples experienced escaped her. And they left her there alone. Some guys. She was weeping outside the tomb, and it's obvious that she wasn't believing in the resurrection. She had now come to the conclusion that Jesus' body had been stolen for some crazy reason, and she was in deep despair. She had come to lovingly prepare his body for burial, since it hadn't been done properly on Friday, because Sabbath was coming. And now the grave was empty, and so was she. Her hope was gone. She's a picture of the emptiness that comes from not knowing Jesus. She didn't yet know what Paul describes in Philippians as the power of his resurrection. Mary Magdalene's hope had been dashed. She had had such hopes for a bright future, and now the one on whom she had hung all of her hopes was not only dead, but disappeared. Her world closed in around her. And this is what the world is, what a world without Jesus is like. And then along comes someone that she assumes is the caretaker for the garden. And our text tells us that she doesn't realize that it's Jesus. Maybe it was a supernatural thing that she was kept from realizing it was Jesus. Or maybe her vision was clouded with tears that she couldn't even see the person who was speaking. My family gave me a bird feeder camera for my birthday. And it takes pictures of birds that land and eat out of it. And the first picture we ever took was me going like this, putting it up. The second picture that I sent to my family was Kathy and I having dinner. Okay? Then we've had we had a tufted titmouse for 10 days. No other birds. Like, aren't there any other birds have found this? Does no one have any imagination to land on that thing? Finally, there was a bluebird looking me right in the eye. And that was the best. But it has a setting on it. And a nuisance animal alert. Now, I put it on a pole, and I greased that pole with Vaseline so that squirrels and raccoons couldn't climb it. But Friday morning, remember what it was like it was Thursday night. When did we have the big wild storm? Every night, but when was the really worst one? I think it was later in the week. I got up to a nuisance animal alert. And here, the lens of the camera was so covered with water and rain that it said that a field sparrow was a nuisance animal, which it kind of is, but because it's not a bluebird. And Mary's eyes were like that. She saw a nuisance animal. She saw a caretaker. She maybe saw a grave robber, but she certainly didn't expect it to be Jesus. After all, she had seen him die. She had seen his body taken down from the cross, and perhaps she'd even been there when he'd been laid in the tomb. And of course, she would not have expected it to be Jesus. But she was desperate, so she asked this intruder, and her grief is palpable. "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell him where you put him. Tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Now, she went there not knowing how the stone was going to be rolled away. And I'm wondering how she could bring Jesus back. But she had a plan because she loved him so much. That's when he said her name. And her tears no longer blurred her vision, because it was Jesus himself right in front of her. It's her Rabboni, her beloved teacher and friend. And now it's her joy that is palpable. And I think that you can at least imagine why. Little did Mary realize that the full impact of what a living Jesus back from the dead truly meant. But this is what the beauty of what Easter represents. Jesus rose from the dead, and his resurrection made our resurrection a reality. And this is what we mean by giving up death. But it meant other things as well. It was a reminder that the promise of the resurrection is not just for some. It's for all who believe. Whosoever will may come. We're going to resume our study of the book of Acts next week. And in the course of that study, likely in late May or early June, we will be looking at Acts 10, where Peter, it's always been one of my favorite Bible stories from my youngest years, where Jesus was called, and remember he was taking an afternoon nap and had a dream, a vision, where a movie screen comes down out of heaven with all these animals that he's not allowed to have. And a voice says, "Take and eat." And he says, "No, I can't do that. I'm a good Jew." And that object lesson turned into a message that this was good now, and the Gentiles were to receive the message. And we will see how Peter learns once and for all that the good news of the resurrection of Jesus and all of his saving power is available for even non-Jewish people, what we refer to as Gentiles, which is us. And as a preview, I'm going to read a few verses from Acts 10, because Peter references the resurrection right in the middle of it. Acts 10, verses 34 through 43. Peter opened his mouth, and he's preaching to these Gentiles, okay? Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So it's always been true. And now Peter is saying it's changed. The message is for everyone. The good news is a message of hope for every race and every person. The song says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. So if you think you're bad, just try being worse than a vilest offender. And then think again. The power of the resurrection is for you. You just have to ask. Jesus rose from the dead so that we could give up death. And this is a wonderful hope for a hopeless world. Michael Kelly writes, Jesus' rising on Easter morning was more than a showy miracle to shock and awe his attackers and followers. When Jesus rose, he turned the entire order of the universe on its head. The resurrection shows us that death does not have the last word. God has the last word, and that word is life. Suffering and death end, but God's kingdom lasts forever. Jesus wasn't thumbing his nose at the religious establishment and saying, hey, how do you like me now? Instead, he was proclaiming God's lasting kingdom, which is available for everyone who believes. Angela read from 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul tells us that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And we celebrate that today. On this resurrection day, savor eternal life, because it starts now. Or now, it starts. And it keeps on going. Amen? And shall I have people stand? Yes. Please stand. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing around the death of death. We take great comfort in knowing the peace and the power of the resurrection. I pray, Lord, that everyone in this room would know that and then share that. In Jesus' name, amen.